biblical love and relationships. For those of you like dear sister Shannon, who's just come back, we've been studying this now for a while. I don't know what that while is anymore. Everything becomes a blur in the ministry, especially when you're traveling and going hither and yon. And we've been doing it for what, a couple of months, something like that. And it's a joy. I thank and grateful to Pastor for the opportunity, but I know it also helps him. His plate is rather full. And so it's kind of nice for him not to be able to have to do this in the afternoon or in the evening services now that we've transitioned to that. But one of the things we're going to talk about is biblical love and relationships preempting relational breakdowns, not only just in marriage, because these principles are going to fit a much broader thing than just our marital relationships, but we're going to talk about it in marriage and in our church-type relationships. Now, one of the things that God wants us to do is train our attractions, affections and desires to fit only one person. This is really what marriage is all about. And you know what? If in the entire world every couple did this, there would be a lot less trouble, wouldn't there? There would be a whole lot less trouble globally if this was really the focal point of all couples. And much marriage and family counseling would be settled and solved as far as the extramarital problems. But does that mean that there wouldn't be problems? No, I think there would be a much higher murder rate.
You know, like somebody said a long time ago, I don't believe in divorce, but murder's an option.
Train your attractions, affections, and desires to fit only one person.
That's some great wisdom. We're going to blow through some of these. We're going to talk about 6 daily commitments for a biblical marriage, but really this is rehearsing some of the stuff we've already shared, so I'm going to fly through it because we have other neat stuff to do. But number one, we'll give ourselves to a regular lifestyle of confession and forgiveness. This is a great, by the way, this is the premarital counseling course that you get from me for you and your future husband in a crash course. This is going to be, you know, warp drive, you know, like Captain Picard used to say, engage. This is going to be the engage mode from here to phew, and all of a sudden, so you'll have to hang on here. But we will give ourselves to regular lifestyle of confession and forgiveness. We will make growth and change our daily agenda. This is what we want to do. And one of the reasons I think our current president got elected is because we're going to bring in hope and change. And now we hope things will change. We will make growth and change our daily agenda. We will work together to build a sturdy bond of trust. That needs to be worked out in a marriage. Let me ask you a question right now. Do you unequivocally trust your husband? Do you unequivocally trust your wife? And if there was a tinge that immediately entered into your mind, whose fault is that? How do you fix that? These are things we need to work at in our marriages. We will commit to building a relationship of love. Now, love is not something that just happens. Most people say you fall in love. Nobody ever fell in love. A lot of people fell in lust. A lot of people fell in like. They fell in the lower, maybe human definitions of that. But love is a commitment and something that you have to work at with just absolutely wonderful, wonderful fruit and ramifications and benefits. It is absolutely wonderful. We will deal with our differences with appreciation and grace. How'd you do this week on that? When the differences came up in your interpersonal relationships, could we substitute? We will deal with our differences with cynicism, arguing, bad attitude, and mouthiness. Did that come up this week? I mentioned that because that's the easy thing for all of us, isn't it? It's a really easy thing for all of us. Number 6. We will work to protect our marriage. That is something that we need to work on in every aspect of our lives, governing and protecting our marriages. So, preempting relational breakdowns in marriage, we looked at Romans 12, 1 and 2. And I'm not going to go over that today because I know a preacher that kind of did that in Sunday school here. So I'm going to, or maybe it was the morning service, but I know he did. Anyway, I'm not going to go into that in great depth because he already touched on that. Galatians 6, 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. The Bible is very clear that what you will plant in your marriage and in your relationships, you will harvest. In marriage, every day you harvest what you previously planted, and you will plant today and throughout this week, which you will sometimes harvest. Those are sobering thoughts, aren't they? Those are sobering thoughts. And they need to be in a positive way, too. Isn't it great when you plant corn and corn comes up that you can eat later on? The problem is that old devil comes along and he sows them weeds in there with it. It sucks the life out of the corn. And if your corn is like our corn, it's about this high and you get 4 kernels. You know? And say, honey, let's go in and have lunch. And we go, that was good. You got 2 kernels of corn and I got 1. But the Bible is very clear. What you plant, you will harvest in a marriage, and every day you will harvest what you previously planted. So you need to be careful with this. Now, I'm going to talk about six daily commitments in a biblical marriage, but we're going to just take a closer look at one of them. And that is this one. We will give ourselves to a regular lifestyle of confession and forgiveness. Of confession and forgiveness. What does that mean? That means that when I violate the biblical role of communication and love with my wife or other people, and conversely, when they do that with me, how are we to respond? We are to respond with confession and forgiveness. You know something? I find a lot of people are really willing to forgive for the wrong reasons. They're willing to forgive because what they're saying is I'll forgive you as long as you will then tolerate that which I'm not willing to work on of the sin in my life. That's not biblical forgiveness. That's not biblical forgiveness. Hey, forgive me. And look, I'll look the other way on the stuff that you need to be forgiven for too. That's not forgiveness. That is indulgence. And what God wants us to do is be willing to forgive, but we need to be willing to confess and repent. And those things always go together in the Scripture. Acts 8:22. Repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart be forgiven thee. So this is something that we need to work on diligently, our confession and our forgiveness aspect of our lives. And so the way that you keep the channels of communication open, the way that you keep those silent moments from coming about, those subjects that you just can't talk about, the going to bed at night angry and both of them, you know, sleeping in an opposite direction and not talking and say, good night, good night. And the air is heavy with what was not said, with what should have been dealt with. And that's no fun, because what will happen, and you'll see as we're going to get deeper in our study, we're going to get into this in great depth, that those things can develop patterns that will bring devastation into a marriage. So seven stages of the harvest of unforgiveness, the pathway to devastation. Might I add to that, these are going to be seven stages of the harvest of unforgiveness and also an unwillingness to be confessing and repenting. These seven stages are actually going to be chronologically progressive. We are going to look at how this happens in the early days of marriage and how one stage will lead to another stage, will lead to another stage. So don't necessarily equate this with how long you've been married. You might find yourself in one of the stages of this because of stunted spiritual growth. You might be back in stage two, even though you've been married for over 30 years. So what I want you to look at is the condition spiritually that is caused by being unforgiving and by unrepenting. This condition and how it's going to, when you plant the seeds of this in the early phases of your marriage, what it's going to do to your marriage long term down the road. Okay? We're going to see how this is going to negatively develop and unfold. And the consequences of planting these weeds in the garden of your marriage are, as it says, absolute. The pathway to devastation. Let's begin. Stage number one, immaturity and failure. This is the selfish, sinful acts that are followed by carnal, bitter responses that often take place in an early marriage.
When a couple gets married, there are two books that I've been reading lately. One, much of this material that I'm sharing with you comes from a book by Paul Tripp, which really is
it's entitled, What Did You Expect? What did you really expect when you got married? Because many times they get married and they fall in, quote unquote, in love. And they're just infatuated with each other's looks. They're infatuated with each other. They just like being with each other, and they talk on a level and everything. And then all of a sudden they get married and they consummate the marriage. And then all of a sudden they realize that a marriage license is a license to construct. That's what it is. It's a construction license. And now you got to start constructing a relationship. And you know, you fell asleep with a dream and you woke up with a nightmare. And that's sometimes the case. And the deal is after about 6 months, you go, you know what? That person really does have nasty morning breath. I never thought of that before. And when they haven't taken a shower yet and their hair's going all over and, you know, the clothes, they don't pick up their clothes and all of the little things of life that they have brought into your new home from the old home all of a sudden can be sources of huge irritants. And all of a sudden the warm fuzzies turned into green fuzz
You know, and it's just, ooh, this is not good. There's an inside joke there. You know. My wife had this little potpourri, Marissa, wherever she is, she's laughing right now. My wife had this little potpourri thing sitting on the stove, and we forgot to check it, and we looked in there, and there was several penicillin cultures growing in there. So we talk about the green fuzz. I don't know, maybe in the early points of marriage, we couldn't have laughed about that. We just laughed. No, that's God has brought us that far. But in this, we call this a stage of immaturity, and then we're going to face failure. You know, how long have you been married? Doesn't really matter, but the point of the matter is how have you adjusted as far as in terms of biblical love and relationship? In an early marriage situation, what you're going to do is you're going to have to make interpersonal adjustments, communication adjustments, physical adjustments. Matter of fact, there's five that I remember back from being trained in seminary in one of my marriage and family courses. There's the personality adjustments, the physical adjustments, the financial adjustments, the in-law adjustments, and then there's the biblical adjustments. And you need to go through all of those adjustments in the early stages of your marriage. And that stuff I remember burned into my brain. I learned that back in 1987. And I list them for you, not because I'm so intelligent, it's because obviously it's something that I had to work on for the last however many years. These adjustments that we have to make in our marriage, we don't always do a great job of it. And you are going to fail, but listen, how you respond to the failures of those who are your husband and wife, family, interpersonal, how you respond is everything. Because if you do not learn to do the what? Confession, forgiveness, the repentance, forgiveness. If you don't learn to do that in a biblical way, and you let these things go festering underneath the surface, there is going to be huge consequence. So we have a stage of immaturity, and yet there's going to be failures. When you're getting to know each other, there's going to be failures. But sinful, selfish acts that are followed by carnality, in other words, what did you mean by that? And then it escalates into an argument. You see, if you set those patterns in the early days of your marriage, you know what's going to happen? You are going to develop those habits. And it's one thing to stop early occasions of breakdowns in a marriage. It's a whole other thing to get a couple after a long period of time who are just at each other's throats, who are just in pure survival mode, which is a later stage. So what we've got to do, we've got to recognize that sinful, selfish acts, which are going to happen amongst us, aren't they? In our married life, they're going to happen. How are you going to respond to those acts? That's what's important. Both of you. This is a training phase to deal with each other in working at that biblical confession and forgiveness on a daily basis. Because it is going to serve you so well throughout the corridors of your marriage and in all other interpersonal relationships if you learn to deal with these two things. Okay, so let's say in the early days of our marriage, you know, I bring my slovenly ways as a teenage boy into the marriage situation, and my wife brings, all of the things of her upbringing that necessarily aren't scriptural, and we have this wonderful, happy, this is really an exciting home, and all of a sudden, many of these things become little nasty irritants that drive, she drives me crazy. He always, and we just get into these little, and the sparks fly. And then what happens to our relationship? Hey, good morning, man, this is just wonderful to be married. Well, that's all over with. It's, boy, I have to put up with this person. You know what I got to put up with this person to be married to this person? This isn't what I signed up for. This isn't what I thought I was marrying here. Well, guess what? The best of marriages is still two, even if they're saved sinners who are in the process of progressive sanctification, changing for God. And there has to be patience, endurance, love, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, temperance, faith, against such there is no law. All those fruits of the Spirit must function. But then the interpersonal sustenance, retention, of that relationship is completely premised on the confession, repentance, forgiveness matrix. The confession, repentance, forgiveness matrix. Because you are going to do things. And please listen very carefully. Some of the stuff that's going to bug you the most isn't necessarily sin. It's just going to be little habits that aren't your habits. Little things that weren't the way you were raised.
little procedures that they do that become an annoyance to you. Someone, when the wife is cooking in the kitchen, they leave the refrigerator door open the whole time they're coming and going and leaving stuff out rather than closing it, and you're overly worried about the electrical bill. The fact of the matter is the husband mows the lawn and he just jumps off the lawnmower and he leaves it in the yard and said, no, I'll stick it away tomorrow. And well, why don't you ride it over to the shed and put it away? See, some of the little things become huge irritants. And so what I'm talking about is in this initial phase, what you need to learn to do is you need to learn to repent and forgive and repent, so that you're developing a relationship of graciousness and biblical love like your Heavenly Father is doing with you. You need to do that with each other. And you know what will happen in time? Trust me, from someone who's been married 36 years, right? We've been married 18 beautiful years. And it's been 36, but no, I'm teasing. It's not been that way. But you think about all that's gone on, and you think about the things that could have become irritants that aren't. And in marriage and family counseling, you meet a lot of people whose little irritants are about this big. They now look at it through this huge magnifying glass. And it's become an obstacle to their happiness, to their oneness, to their fellowship, to their contentment. And if you choose to live that kind of a lifestyle, it will destroy you. It will destroy you. And so we need to look at stage one. Let me ask you something. The early phases of your marriage, or perhaps you're even there, or you're like our dear sister Shannon, you're contemplating going into marriage. Train your brain to treat your partner like God treats you, and you'll be fine. Deal graciously and in a forgiving way. Now, does there need to be genuine repentance? We have been hammering this. And somebody comes and says, forgive me because I'm sorry, sorry, sorry. No, there's not forgiveness there because there's no repentance. We expect biblical repentance. And then there's biblical forgiveness. But even when they haven't repented as good as they should have, we're still doing what? We're still leaning towards that forgiveness. We still want to be forgiving in that particular way. Well, let's go on to phase number two, and that's all we're going to get through of these phases this week. Stage number two, falling into comfortable patterns. Something that happens in early stages of marriage, you begin to say, okay, you know what? We've learned to communicate just enough. We've learned to get along just enough. But invariably, when you're not, remember what I said, working at this on a continual basis? Working at the trust, working at the love, working at that relationship, you get to a comfortable level. And when you get to this comfortable level, I promise you, it will stagnate. And sour. Because the Bible says we should grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We should walk. That's a progression. Since confrontation, confession, and forgiveness is hard work, many couples fall into destructive patterns that will reap a harvest of weakened affections, corrosive communications, and compiling a list of wrongs and using those specifically for power, control, and manipulation in relationships. Let's look at some of this. Falling into comfortable patterns. Since confrontation, confession, and forgiveness is hard work. I mean, it's hard work. And you got to do it the right way. You can't come in and say, you know, honey, you're just a rotten, stinking, filthy human being. No, you can't. And they go, what? What are you talking about? Now, let me tell you. It wouldn't surprise me if some of those words like that were spoke by some of the couples in our church this past week. Maybe not those exact words, but my point is, when you're irritated and you have to deal with someone who has irritated you, the first thing that you have to do is go get your heart right with God so that you communicate what? In love. Colossians 4:6, let your speech be always with what? Grace. What is grace? God giving us the desire and the ability to live for Him. So even when you irritate me, what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to communicate to you in a way that gives you grace, to give you the desire and the ability to live for God. So I can say, Floyd, we didn't get to go fishing last week. Do you want to go this week? Or I can say, Floyd, you broke the fishing date last week, you lousy bum. You've been doing it for the last month. Come on, come on. Can't you develop a little character so maybe we can go this week? Each one carries its own set of emotions, right?
I guarantee you one of them, Floyd, will probably say, yeah, if I can work out the time, let's go fishing. The other one, he'll say, I'll never work out the time to go fishing with you, you dirty bum. And that's the thing in marriage. See what I'm saying? We have to learn to communicate. We have to learn to control. We have to learn to do the confession love thing. We have to work at these things. How you frame things matters, because you're planting seeds in the garden of your marriage that are going to grow up and come to fruition. So listen very carefully. Since confrontation, confession, and forgiveness is hard work, many couples fall into the destructive patterns. And one of them is that we're doing okay. I mean, we're not doing okay, but we've kind of got to where we are. And I don't see divorce on the horizon, nor do I see intimacy on the horizon. Nor do I see a growing in love on the horizon. And it's because you're not doing the maintenance of confession and forgiveness. It's hard work. Patterns that will reap a harvest of weakened affections, corrosive communications, and compiling a list of wrongs. Let's begin at the first one of those last threes. Weakened affections. Every couple wants to have not only marital intimacy, and obviously in a mixed crowd, I'm not going to go there, but every couple, when they get together, sees themselves holding hands on a beach somewhere reading Tennyson. Oh, and experience it. Did you hear that song? I heard that song. Is that as precious to you as it is to me? It is. It's just wonderful. Look at the bird. That's sweet. It is sweet. That's special. 10 years later, that bird's annoying. Get the gun, will you? You get the gun. I'm busy. I'm in the kitchen cooking all day. The bird's out there attending. You go shoot the gun. Where'd you put the gun, by the way? Well, you left it on the counter. You were supposed to clean it and put it away, but you didn't put it away. And see, that's what things can turn into. I say that in a laughing way, but sometimes we laugh out loud of that which hurts a lot. We sometimes turn into humor that which hurts the most.
Weakened affections in a marriage relationship. Is your marriage getting better and better affectionately? Do you just love to spend time? You know, a passage of Scripture that's always bothered me. I mean it. It has always bothered me. It's that when the Lord was asked about marriage in heaven, he said, no, no marriage in heaven. They're not married and given to marriage. And I thought, I don't like that. I love my wife. I want to be married to her forever. And he said, when you get to heaven, you can't be married forever. So I thought, okay, I can't do that, but what about being a best friend?
So my best friend and I, we're going to search the universe and find things out and do stuff. And we can't be married, but she can come over to my house all the time, anytime, every time. Okay. She has an invitation, you don't.
But God wants us to have a strengthening of our affections towards Him, and then a strengthening of our affections towards each other. And let me tell you that the warmth of relationship, the joy of fellowship, and the closeness of friendship is not something that takes place by accident. It has to be done through the confession and through the forgiveness matrix. It has to be done through the repentance forgiveness matrix. Because every one of us, no matter how good you think you are at living the Christian life, are going to fail. You're going to falter. You're going to offend. And you're going to do wrong. I'm also going to be wronged as I do wrong. And so we need to develop the biblical skills of working with each other to deepen our relationship. And I promise you, most of us didn't get that from our parents. We get just the opposite. And some of you went through failed marriages. And so it's really easy to not fix what caused that. And bring that into the present. God doesn't want that. God wants to transform your lives and to build those affections. And then it will cause corrosive communications. It is always amazing to me when I'm around couples just to hear them. You know, there's the church communication. Hi, this is my wife. Yeah, she's wonderful. This is my first wife. I love her and she's... You'll laugh in a minute. And... That means we have plans. And anyway, you know, we get along great. And then there's the communication when people are watching. Honey, we all become ventriloquists. Honey, don't do that. Or I'll get you when we get home. You're a rotten, terrible person. Then there's the communication when nobody's listening. And oftentimes, have you ever overheard a couple communicating on that level? And it broke your heart. Because you know that's going on.
all too often in their home and in their hearts and in their marriage. And immediately I know as a preacher, one of the things that breaks my heart about that more than anything, you know what their life is like. Their life is a facade. Their life is not filled with the affections and the joy and the closeness and all of those things that are fun about life and the intimacy.
They have weakened affections, corrosive communication, and then they compile a list of wrongs. I don't have time to develop this week, and we are going to take a look at it next week, but you ask Pastor, and I'll tell you from my marriage and family counseling, usually when we sit down in the first 2 minutes of a counseling situation, what will invariably happen is the husband and or the wife, and it's usually the wife because the husband's, their carnal response is usually just, and the wife's carnal response will usually list everything that the husband has ever done wrong. And that doesn't mean that the husband doesn't have a list too. It's usually he just goes into stubborn silence, and she just usually, that's a typical way that they handle with that. Both of them are unbiblical, I might mention. They compile a list of wrongs. The husband will get around to sharing his usually. Don't worry about it. She's just usually more willing in the beginning. And what they're really doing is they're saying, you're a failure, and what I've done is I've chosen never to biblically forgive you like God has commanded me to do. And the husband will say, yeah, even by his silence, you're a failure too, and it has so wounded me that I'm going to withhold from you even the simplest form of love, which is communication. And so now here we are locked in this battle of wills of saying, who needs to repent the most and who needs to forgive the most? And I'll be the judge of whether your repentance is real or not, because up to this point, buddy, it hasn't been. Yeah, well, sweetheart, yours hasn't been a cakewalk either. And then they'll just degenerate into unbiblical relationships. And how do we as counselors deal with that? Immediately, I don't deal with either of them. Immediately, I take them to their vertical relationship and say, are you right with God right now? Is this attitude that you have, are you right with your Heavenly Father? And then when you choose to get right with Him, how is He dealing with you in that regard? And why aren't you taking that to a horizontal level one with another? Why aren't you doing that? Well, we've got a lot more of these, but I just wanted you to see, in stage one of a marriage, it's very easy to set up those weeds in the garden of your marriage that are going to produce fruit right along. And I promise you, to get rid of the 200-pound pumpkin is a lot harder than to get rid of that little plant when it's first planted. Okay? It's a lot harder to get rid of the big stuff. So work on it in the initial stage. That doesn't mean we can't get rid of the big stuff later on if it's coming to fruition in your life. But let's fix it now, okay? Let's fix it now. Let us help you. Which, by the way, something I haven't offered, and I know Pastor has done the same thing, but if you ever need help in marriage and family counseling on a macro level, it's big stuff, man, we really need help, or on a micro level, let us know. Pastor and I are more than willing to help you in any of these things. Quite honestly, I do more counseling of pastors and wives and preachers and people from other churches than we'd really do around here. But we're totally available for you. You know, totally available for you. If there's questions you want to run by us, we'll be glad to help you on any level. But stage one, immaturity and failure. Stage two, falling into comfortable patterns, albeit those patterns are sinful and carnal. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I believe this study is critically needed in each and every one of our hearts and lives so that we will work at that biblical matrix of confession, repentance, and forgiveness. And thank you, Lord, that you never get it wrong. But we do. And so we're rehearsing your truth, Lord, so that we can commit to this to make a dynamic difference in our lives. And Lord, when we see the violations around us, help our hearts to break. Help us to turn those into prayer reminders. And always keep us from a pharisaical attitude. And Lord, for any good thing, any transformational grace that has been accomplished in any and of all of our lives, we give you all the honor, the glory, the credit, and the praise, and the responsibility. You are truly a wonderful, transformational, and patient, and long-suffering, merciful God, and we thank you. In Jesus' name.